So this is an obvious thing, but even sometimes the most obvious things do need to be said out loud in order for us to like truly understand it. But so that's why I'm going to start with this. Every single person on this earth that is breathing right now, no matter where they are, they live, they're born, and then they die. And in between that, in this life sandwich, this existence sub, you have what I believe is the right to self-determination. The right to do, you know, do what you can when you can with what you've got. Right? That for me is the biggest offense in all of this. Because we all share that common truth and we know it. We live with it. Whenever someone somehow gets it in their head that they are able to take that away, it is the ultimate vile, it's just the ultimate offense in my eyes. And especially in a situation where, because like, so I'm no genealogist. I've done some reading, obviously not an expert at this point. If you listened, you know that, but I am aware, like anecdotally and from what I've read, that trauma, not only is it just stored in you, other like descendants, following generations inherit that trauma. So we have a very large group that was resettled after a massive traumatic event. They underwent a genocide. For me, I am truly perplexed that there are descendants of survivors of a genocide that have now become the perpetrators and are using their religion, they're intertwining themselves with it in order to justify deleting these people. Because at this point, almost 150 days in, we know that it might not be said officially in a statement, but extermination of the Palestinian people in Gaza and even in the West Bank is the ultimate goal. And look, if anybody knows, I'll look it up later, of any other time in history where, you know, the tables have turned like this, specifically like this, please let me know. I'm open to it. I'm wrong about a lot of things, but this for me is completely novel. And I can't wrap my head around it. But that is the thing for me, the thing that I think about most that really makes me angry. And I don't understand how other people can't see it. It's like here in America, we, especially like I remember in the early 2000s, after 2001, talking about freedom and being this great nation of people. But even in that language, it always excluded everyone else. It was supposed to be that we were set apart of a different, what do you call it? It's not cloth. It's just a different kind, you know? It's American exceptionalism. But that is dangerous. And now I'm seeing it play out with, you know, the U.S.'s best friend, you know, little stepkid, with the Israeli government. I don't know what else to say about it. I wake up and have my morning coffee, morning tea, dreading, but knowing I need to look at my phone because I cannot look away, knowing that I need to talk about these things because I can't look away. This, it's the same reason why I never understood why, and even though I know it's dangerous, whenever you see a domestic violence dispute playing out in real time in front of you, like, I never understood why people wouldn't intervene. You know? Because you're seeing something very horrible happening, and you know that that's not right. And I don't get it. I shouldn't have to drink my coffee while looking at dead babies. And another thing I want to talk about, in regards to, like, American exceptionalism, is the fact that, like, I don't know how, and specifically, or, like, I don't know all the ins and outs of how it happened over time, but, you know, the people that I've spoken to in my life, people in my family, people that I have, that I know that have enlisted, they've, you know, done their time, okay, that are veterans, and from interviews I've seen with other people that have enlisted in, like, an American military branch, it is almost always because they are trying to pursue economic stability, education, or travel. Like, we have this American exceptionalism rhetoric, but yet America, my country, my home, has done such a good job at, you know, leaving their people high and dry to the point where people have to make the choice of trying to better themselves by, like it's either they try and thug it out in America, do what they can in order to try and climb up, especially if you're poor, or you sign a contract, potentially, you know, like, signing your life away, going to fight a war for somebody that doesn't know you, that makes a lot more money than you, that won't know your face, that will condescendingly just be like, oh, you know, like, they served, they did what they could to protect this land. Like, a person that doesn't even care about you, they're willing to sign a contract like that, just to be able to, you know, meet their basic needs. Like, that is amazing to me. That is our status quo. And I always thought there was something weird about the fact that, like, in my life coming up poor, recruiters, and, you know, military time, veterans, like, it was always such a big part of my life. It's always sounded culty, but now I know, definite cult vibes. It's a definite cult. And and you're a pawn. You're not, like, I understand wanting to give your life to keep people safe. I really do. But when you think about the average person, like you, who would you name one or two people in your mind that you would give your life for? Gladly. If you can't think of anybody, don't feel bad. Because self-preservation is normal. It's okay to not want to be a martyr. Oh, this is so depressing. I can't even, I can't feel, I can't cry. Like, all this shit, I don't even know if I'm making sense. It's just, what I meant to say with that, where I was going with it, is like, if you can't even think of, if you can only think of, like, one or two people, or you can't think of anybody you'd die for, why the fuck would you want to potentially die for the land that you're living on? Like, that is not a healthy relationship. That can't be the fucking norm for us. And I feel, obviously, like it is, for a lot of us. Because we've seen, like, how military and nobility have played out in movies, on shows, in, like, my daughter, she loves to watch those coming home military videos. Like, they make you cry, because it's about, like, you see families reconnecting, finally being together again. But, you know, now when I see those videos, especially if they're dated back to the early 2000s, I wonder, what did those people do while they were out overseas with a license to kill? Because that's really what it is. And as much as I've always been fascinated with and deeply saddened by 9/11, but it happened because, you know, America wanted to fuck around and they never thought they'd have to find out. Like, us as a country. And a lot of us that were like even my brother, and I used to say it as well, like, oh, I'm not political. I don't look into that. But life itself really is political. Now, you know, and hold up. And what we allow with our silence matters. I'm talking about Palestinian people now, but I want you to know that even in my own home country, like, you, the person listening, I don't want you to have a horrible life. I don't want or think you deserve to be enslaved to somebody else. I don't want you to struggle just to be able to, like, feed yourself and provide shelter for yourself. What I want in basic human rights for them, I want for you. I believe you deserve it the same way I deserve it. They deserve it. That should be the status quo. That should be the norm. War is not a necessity. It is a business 100%. And the great thing about it is those war profiteers, the people that are the resistance to them, they die out. Like, if the people are the resistance in the land that is currently being attacked, they could just all be killed. And, like, it's like the mess takes care of itself. My brother has asked me, like, why do you care? And that was my answer. I care because I care about you. Because it's normal to care. Because us as people, we thrive in community. Does that mean I'm all, like, I used to say this a lot before in my other recordings. Like, do I believe in, like, a fucking cheesy kumbaya song and everybody in peace? No. Obviously, there will be conflict. But the same way, I now understand that there is no good reason to inflict physical violence on my children when I have the option of speaking to them, of assessing how or why I'm angry or what I need from them. Like, there are always non-violent, is the word diplomatic, ways to problem solve. Excuse me. I don't know why I'm burping so much. I have shit to do and I'm just in this car talking to myself. Oh, man. And it's not going to change anything. Wheezing now. I don't know where I was trying to go with this, but this is now a part of my everyday. And I just can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop looking at it. Oh, fuck. This person next to me, their alarm went off. Alright, I have grocery shopping I need to do. I hope I made sense. I don't ever check these. I really should start editing, but if that was the case, like, knowing my potentially ADHD-ridden brain, I would not get this done. The best way for me to just do it is to just do it. So, and the fact that a handful of people have listened, oh my God, I hope you're okay. I appreciate it, but if you went all the way through, I don't know how. Anyway, bye.